This Quarter Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, This Quarter lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Hey guys, hello, you're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. That's a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise After Show, which is a mixture of music and discussion. We've got some good topics and then some even better music for you tonight on the after show, so stick around. But first, it is time, I think, for a bit of White Noise. We got some good people in the room tonight, though. For
the room.
The room.
so we got, say the audience.
So we got Sierra Connor here. How are you guys doing again tonight?
Good.
Don't think too hard.
Yeah, don't be too exciting. And then, of course, we've got a special guest tonight. We've got JD in the house. How you doing, mate?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad. So, tell the listeners, where are you from?
Where am I from? Like, what, currently? Or where was I born? You know?
What's your show?
Oh, where am I? Oh, right. I have a podcast. Where am I from? I'm from my podcast, Cheap Talk. I have a comedy variety show podcast. You can download it on iTunes. It's called Cheap Talk. So, but, you know, give it time. Make sure you like me before you download it.
Yeah. You know, reserve your judgment to the end of this segment, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But I think, without further ado, it's time for some White Noise.
Coming in. Contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by the Rio Olympics.
This time, it isn't just sexually transmitted diseases that athletes have to worry about. First up tonight, it's time for Future History.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Tiny Robinson, and tonight we are excavating this ancient settlement that our experts have dated back to 2016 AD. Our findings suggest a primitive culture existed reliant on fossil fuels for energy, computers for affection, and animals for food. To think our bovine brethren have gone in just a few short thousand years from being dinner to being leaders of the Democratic Party. Sadly, the fowl community still faces strong political opposition. Some people are still adamant that they would never, ever vote for a chicken. One of our archaeologists has just handed me a wonderful artifact. It is a genuine 21st century piece of art. It's made of some sort of rubber and is shaped like male genitalia. It was probably a religious artifact that was worshipped to promote fertility. Let's take a look at what else they found. Hi, Daphne. What are you working on there?
This electronic device appears to be some sort of communication device, though it may also have been used for improving fertility, as the memory contains a lot of photos of penises.
Fascinating stuff. How about you, John? What have you found?
I've been working on restoring this rather garish gold chain inscribed with the English word player.
And what was that for?
Well, I'm pretty certain it was designed to be placed on certain individuals to tell other humans who to avoid.
Very clever. Though it is much simpler to do what we do now and just lock them all away.
Well, if they'd let cows vote at the time, you know, things might have been very different.
And finally, Karen, what are you working on?
Well, at first I thought it was some sort of fertility device due to its phallic shape. But I now believe what we have here is an early century gun.
And what were they used for?
Well, we aren't completely sure. As they don't appear to serve any useful purpose, they just seem to maim people. Our producer already has got three holes in him, and we just don't get what the point of adding holes to people is.
Perhaps they found it sexy, but that will just have to remain a mystery until next time on Future Historians.
I'd never buy a gun. I think it's unethical to support the steel industry. Next up tonight, someone's getting hitched.
Where's Colin got to?
Oh, he's out with that, what's her name again? You know, the one with the face.
Oh, her. I don't like her. She's got one of them airs about her.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, she's definitely one of them type.
Hiya, Mum. Hiya, Dad.
Hello, Petal.
There's something I gotta tell you.
Did that slapper dump you?
No. But it is sort of about her.
Go on.
Well, we're getting married.
How far along is she?
It probably isn't yours.
Oh, no. She's not pregnant. We're in love.
How can you tell?
What?
You're 18, how can you tell?
Well, because of feelings and that.
Might it just be lust or wind?
No, it's love. I want to spend the rest of my life with her.
Bollocks, she's only your first girlfriend. You've barely seen what's on offer.
Your dad's right. I had to go through two old professional football teams before I found your dad.
Yeah, and I've been in the Navy for 4 years. So I knew when I landed back on these shores that I definitely wasn't gay.
You don't want to go to uni with a girlfriend. That never works.
She said she'd move with me. She can get a transfer to work at a closer Walmart.
It's a big mistake, lad. Trust me.
Oh, can you just meet her, please?
Fine, go on then.
Susie, come in here.
Hiya, you all right?
Oh, hiya, love. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Suze. Sorry, Colin. We got mixed up. We thought you meant that other bird, you know, the one we saw you with at the bus stop Tuesday.
You told me you were sick Tuesday.
What? No, I was.
You cheating bastard. I knew you were with that slag.
Oh, quit it. I'm not lying. I'm honest. No, come back.
No.
That was easier than I thought it would be. Parents are devious. Well, they have to be nowadays, because you can't hit them anymore. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
I'm soaked through, Neil. My fingers look like prunes.
I don't think they should be that purple, though. Better get you to do a vet.
Oh, no way. You are not going to try and put me to sleep again.
That was one time, mate. No. I agree. This is getting ridiculous. I'm starting to get mollusks on me ass.
Oh, well, maybe we can nick an house.
How do you nick an house?
Quietly.
Oh, just shut up, Carl. Let me think.
I need a poo.
Then just go squat over there. You know, by the telly. Wait, that's it? We just need a telly. I mean to squat.
So what is this place?
Right now, it's nothing. It used to be an abattoir.
Oh, so it's like a French thing?
Nah, it's a slaughterhouse.
Oh, cool. Like in Rocky?
Nah, it was a meatpacking place. It's not as nice as that.
Well, can I still punch meat?
Well, this place has been abandoned for like 20 years, so if you do find you some meat, your hand's probably going to go straight through it.
Oh. Ooh, ghost meat.
Nah, just shut up and pass me the bolt cutters.
Are they the long ones that cut chains?
Yeah.
We didn't bring them.
Why not?
We sold them for that bike.
What bike?
The bike that got stolen by the same bloke we gave the bolt cutters to.
Ah, Jesus, Carl.
Well, it's not my fault we're dealing with criminal masterminds.
And what do we have?
Got a pen.
A pen?
Oh, wait, no. It's out of ink.
Well, then we'll just gonna have to smash a window.
How?
Easy. Just, lean really close to this one.
Okay.
Now, listen carefully.
Okay. Ow! Oh, my head!
I knew that would break the window.
Oh, whoa. Actually, that was fun. Can we do that again?
Maybe later. First, we should probably find you a towel. Your, jugular is bleeding a little.
Oh, whatever. Happens all the time. At least it's dry in here.
There's a lot more blood than I thought there would be.
Well, I can't believe no one else is squatting here.
Well, those rats look like they ain't going anywhere.
Oh, awesome. It'll be just like Ratatouille. You know the bit where everyone's trying to fuck up the rat?
We need to find an office. Somewhere not covered in blood.
Nah, check. They're full of blood too.
What? Even a count?
Oh, a count. Look like that film, you know.
Carrie?
Nah. The Lion King.
That wasn't a bloody film.
It was a bloody film. It was an hour and a half long.
Nah, I mean, there was no blood spilled in it.
Oh, then you have not seen the director's cut. Personally, I thought the sexual assault scene was a little much.
Carl, are you confusing Lion King with The Hills of Eyes again?
No, I don't think so.
Whatever. Where are we going to sleep?
Maybe the park?
Perhaps if I wear my swimming shorts, it won't be so bad.
Oh, I begged you the armbands.
I hated wearing armbands when I was swimming. I'd rather just drown like a man. Next up tonight is an interview.
Good evening and welcome to Creepy Conversations. I am Brad Stoker. Tonight, I'm joined by the real Firestarter. It is, of course, Puff, the Magic Dragon. Hello, Puff.
Hello, Brad. Lovely to be here. Sorry, I didn't mean to singe you there.
That's quite all right. My eyebrows are getting too long anyway. So please tell us, what's it like to live as a dragon?
Well, dragons aren't much different to humans. We enjoy hoarding gold, destroying our enemies, and of course, eating sheep. We go nuts for a lampassander.
Does the breathing fire thing hinder or enhance your life?
It's not as useful as the flying, but it's great at parties.
Really?
Oh, yes. Nothing kills a boring conversation dead quite like melting the face off the other person.
Naturally. And do you go to many parties?
Oh, yes, but I think some people are just inviting me to add to the diversity.
Are there many dragons left in the world?
Not really. We mainly now live in Wales, China, and, of course, the Dothraki Sea.
Ah, yes, Wales.
has a dragon on their flag.
Yes, yes. Another example of cultural appropriation. So tasteless.
You don't appreciate it?
No, not at all. Might be different if they didn't deny us land rights and access to hoards of gold.
Fair enough. So, I presume you do preside there?
Yes, there's a spot in the valley too treacherous for granola-munching hikers to bother me, so I spend a lot of time there reading, writing, and burning books. The last one unintentionally.
And do you wish dragons were more integrated?
I'm not saying I want to live in a semi-detached in Cardiff, but I wouldn't mind living a little nearer to a Starbucks and fresh prey.
My final question tonight, did St. George really slay a dragon and conquer the Middle East?
No. He stabbed some woman who's in charge of Libya. Go look it up. There are no dragons there. It's too bloody hot.
Well, thank you for joining me tonight. Puff.
Actually, I've changed it to P. Diddy now that it's up for grabs again.
Right. Well, thank you, P. Diddy. Join us again next week when I will be joined by the world's first openly transgender mermaid.
I've always liked dragons. They remind me of my mum's scaly skin. Speaking of which, it's time to return to my childhood in Blackmoor, Bile Belgian Bastards. This can't be happening.
It is, lad.
Why do I have to be the best man? I'm only 13.
It's an honour. Lad.
I can't be the best man. I don't even have pubes yet.
Look, I'm marrying your mum. I just wanted to have you be a part of it.
Do you not have any real friends? Is that it? You know what? This is all starting to make sense now.
Just be quiet.
And who wears a white suit to get married? Feel like I'm at a lesbian wedding.
Shut up. It's starting. Here she comes.
Look at the state of her.
She's beautiful.
Jesus, you must actually love her.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Fine, I'll go along with it. But Daddy's gonna be pissed. And he was. And when he sobered up, he was also quite angry. Next up tonight is the news.
Breaking news. A child has been taken hostage after wandering into an ISIS stronghold while playing Pokemon Go. The player, only known by his username, PimpDaddy69, had unknowingly strayed beyond the Turkish border while looking to complete his collection, and his search drew him into the ISIS-controlled city of Raqqa. He was only alerted to danger upon arriving at a jihadi Pokestop and was ambushed by people claiming to be on Team Instinct. Reports claim that upon his capture, militants subjected him to a series of cruel torture techniques, such as subjecting his weakest Pokemon to repeated demolitions at a local Islamic State gym and forcing him to collect every Zubat he saw. This report confirms suspicions that the jihadis have also been able to rework the game's code to create a new team. Team Everyone Dressed Like Ninjas. Further research has led us to conclude that the Islamic State now controls 17 different gyms in Iraq and Syria, and they are attempting to expand into Lebanon, Iran, and Jordan. PimpDaddy69's time with the jihadis has recently come to an end, as he was eventually released, having traded away all of his rare Pokemon. Sadly, he was denied entry back into his home country of Turkey after authorities discovered he was attempting to traffic a number of Voltorbs into the country. The highly volatile Pokemon is easy to explode, and a statement from the police suggests that PimpDaddy69 may have been converted into a jihadi and intended to sabotage non-ISIS gyms in his native country. Regretfully, the police don't seem to realize that it's just a game and that the Pokemon can't actually escape the mobile device. In other news, a zealous Christian man in Texas has been arrested after discharging his handgun in public areas in attempts to kill the Pokemon demons he was seeing on his phone. The NRA has blamed mental illness, and his spiritual father, the Lord God, has refused to comment on these highly abnormal actions.
I don't play Pokemon Go. It involves too much going outside, and I don't like anything involving gyms. Next up tonight, it's time for the politically correct Olympics.
Good evening, and welcome to the politically correct Olympics, the only Olympics where actually everyone matters. Today, we are broadcasting from beautiful Basingstoke in England, where we acknowledge we are on stolen Anglo-Saxon land, which was stolen from the Romans, which was stolen from the Celts, who stole it from a wealthy goat. I'm joined by my biracial female broadcast partner, Hilary Scheltz, to provide balanced and impartial coverage of these glorious events. Evening, Hilary.
It's great to be here, Billy. So many talented and untalented people will be cheered on in equal measure today.
And what events are they going to be cheered on in today?
Well, today we kick off with a fan favorite, cultural disappropriation. That's where countries attempt to return stolen cultural identity.
Awesome. And then?
Another massive event, it's the body praising event.
Yes. This one was introduced actually only this year to replace one of my favorite events that was disappointingly cut this year, the always exciting slut praising.
Yes, that must have hurt you personally as a four-time former gold medalist.
Yes, best years of my life they were. And then finally, we will end tonight's coverage with the 100-meter dash in bubble wrap. So let's first head over to the cultural disappropriation area.
Italy are first up, and wow, they are out to win it. They just returned pasta, pizza, and ice cream to China. They want to win.
Oh, but Team England will not be outdone tonight. They are returning rock and roll to the American South. They are forcing Paul McCartney onto a plane.
That is huge. Surely the USA can't top that. But wait, they are returning capitalism to Adam Smith and Scotland. They are leaving everything on the table. Surely no one can top this.
Saudi Arabia are going to give it a go. They're hesitating. Maybe it's all gone wrong. No, here it is. Oh, unbelievable. They are returning the camel to North America. I thought I'd seen everything, Hillary.
This is why our viewers take precious time out from writing their Tumblr blogs to join us. We are making history here.
Surely there can be no surprises left here.
Wait, here come the Scots. They are handing over their kilts to the English. But what's this? The English say they can keep them.
It won't be enough to beat the Italians, who've just handed over their entire cuisine, Italy, with first place. But this is the PC Olympics, so everyone gets a medal, a pat on the head, and are told the rankings are meaningless, even though, of course, they aren't.
Now it's time for the body praising. The secret here is to remain sincere in the face of absurdity.
The Canadians are renowned for placing high in this event. They are the team to beat.
Definitely. The Canadians live and breathe politeness. This should be a walk in the park for them, unlike their brethren to the south.
Yes, the USA usually has about as much tact as a drunk frat boy, but let's see how they fare this time.
The Germans are up first. Let's go live to the arena.
Those Daisy Dukes look great on you.
Really?
Yeah. Your legs don't remind me of cottage cheese at all.
Ooh, a near miss there for the Germans. Next up is the English.
Oh, yes, sir. Speedos are back. Just excuse me a moment.
Ooh, almost perfect execution there, but it appears the Englishman was a little sick in his mouth, and that is going to be worth a whole point deduction.
And now the Canadians are taking center stage.
Hey there! Great outfit. I'm a huge fan of spandex. It's not just for cycling.
Nerves of steel. He's completely ignoring the gentleman's rather pronounced moose knuckle.
Never mind meat and two veg. It looks like he has a whole bag of shopping stuff down there.
So, this is kinda hard.
Ooh, he's mentioned the elephant in the room.
Let's not go overboard. It's not that big. Oh, his time's up. Let's go to the judges' scores. Canada clinches it!
Congratulations, Canada. That brings their medal total up to 1,434, joint first with everyone else.
Thanks for watching. This has been the Politically Correct Olympics. Join us tomorrow for coverage of the hurdling of systemic inequality, seven-a-side trust exercises, and the finals of the Suing Comics Who Offend You competition. Don't miss it.
I don't like the regular Summer Olympics. I prefer the Paralympics. It's much more of a challenge. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Caitlin Docking, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
All right, there you go. That was the White Noise Show. I hope you enjoyed the half hour of sketch comedy there. This time, Connor, it almost was half an hour for once.
It really was. It was a long one, and I really appreciated it.
Yeah, I got carried away with the Politically Correct Olympics. And
even then, I still thought some of the transitions were a bit too quick. Sometimes they're just a bit too fierce, a bit too quick.
Well, I'm sorry, but
I think
pacey.
If we really
That's
worked
we
on this,
it.
We could pull this out to like a full 45-minute show.
If we... Yeah. What are you talking about? You're talking 100 miles an hour. With you, you turn 22 pages into 15 on a regular basis.
Thank you very much.
Can I just make this clear?
Yeah.
That wasn't real?
That wasn't real.
Right. Okay.
So what did you think of that bit of fiction?
It was fine.
It was fine.
It was acceptable reality that turned out to not be reality.
No, it was great. I loved it. The aggressive dubstep in between confuses me.
Especially as it's set in like the 1970s.
Right. Like, what? What is happening?
It's just meant to represent the sort of angry chaos that is Blackmore as a child, because he just screams at everyone constantly.
Yeah.
So I see him, the inside of his head, like this like Spike TV explosion of noise.
Right. Is that you doing Blackmore's voice, Serena?
That's Sierra.
Sierra,
definitely,
sorry.
Yeah. I think I tried to do it for about 10 seconds and I could never speak for like 3 days.
Really?
Richard Blackmore.
I quite regularly hack up a lung doing that voice every week.
Are you sure that's why?
The last episode we do, it'll just be a full kind of recording of bloopers that's literally just Simon hacking.
I can do it out of just me coughing, honestly.
Not sure if that's the smoking habit or the voice.
It's a shame you're not here. It's a shame you weren't here last week or a couple weeks ago to hear Caitlin does Blackmore's mum.
Right.
Which is basically just female Blackmore.
All right.
And it's hilarious.
Oh, that's great. I'll have to go back and listen.
Oh, dear. All right. So, yeah, we do have the White Noise after show coming up right now. But first, we're going to start the show off with a bit of kick-ass music. So first, we're going to play tonight a little band called To Wonder, and this song's called Hedonism, so check it out. We'll be right back. Awesome. That's Jayana there with Street Freaks off J2, which is a cracking album. If you're into sort of electro indie stuff, absolutely go check it out. That's J2 by Jayana. And some great weird album art too, eh?
Super creepy. Sorry if you're listening, but I know it's your girlfriend on the inside, but super weird photo of her and a dog just sitting there like, yeah, I know what's up.
They look cozy, though, to say, I mean, to be fair.
To be fair.
And comfy doesn't mean not creepy.
And the other picture on the back is just him holding a microphone like he didn't know they were taking a photo.
Yeah. Where am I? What does it all mean?
Is this my album?
Today?
Oh.
Candid.
All right, so our first topic for tonight, we're going to, as it's on right now, you can't get away from it. The Olympics are on, and I've got two questions tonight about the Olympics. So we're going to start, we'll start with a serious one. We'll do the main course, and then we'll have the fun one for dessert.
One, how many medals have Syria won at the Olympics?
I think some of their refugees are doing pretty well at the Olympics.
They are. Did they even field the team this year?
I think they've got bigger things, you know, on their plate at the moment.
That being the point, like, I mean, can they afford to? Is it even a consistent kind of country enough to support?
Well, they're finding money for bombs, so maybe they got money for swimming.
That's coming from, like, other countries.
Yeah, I think they're being loaned, those.
The Iranians are giving them the bombs.
But, yes, that wasn't quite where I was going. What I wanted to talk about, actually, was there was a photo widely shared yesterday, or the day before, rather, of the beach volleyball tournament. And one of the countries is Egypt that's in it. And one girl chose the uniform of full coverage. And she was playing opposite Italy, who was in the more traditional bikini outfit. And some people were trying to say it was a clash of ideas, a clash of societies, of culture. Is that really the case, guys? What do you think? Not really relevant.
Well, it might be important point.
It might, because it might determine who won the clash of these cultures.
So you think there is a clash of cultures?
Well, if there is, there might not be any more, because obviously one of them won.
I think Hannibal cared.
Hannibal didn't wear a hijab.
Any thoughts, JD?
I don't know. It's kind of like, who gives a shit? Really, it's
the
goddamn
world
internet.
Media.
Anyone could just say whatever they want anytime, becomes a news story. It's so silly. What, like, wear whatever you want. You can depend on your culture or whatever the fuck you want to wear. Like, who?
That was Who cares? This was kind of my thought. I was almost like sort of in two minds about even bringing it up, because I'm on the same wavelength as you, which is, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Wear what you want. Play the game, enjoy the game. Yes, people wear different things, but if they're within the regulations of the game,
right,
then what's the discussion?
But can I also raise my earlier point of, so who won?
I don't know.
Because
couldn't care less. It's women's volleyball, not something I'm going to watch.
It is somewhat important, though, because if the team that was, I think we said the Egyptian, right? The Egyptian was wearing a full-body sort of outfit. If her team lost, perhaps it was because that they were inhibiting their own competitiveness by wearing these outfits. Maybe that's actually not really in the spirit of the game, maybe. You could argue that kind of case. That
you,
they're actually,
you could,
they're
but I'd call you a sad
back.
Bastard for arguing it.
Look, it is a relevant point.
It's a bit like those swimmers who, like, shave their eyebrows off. Like,
it sort of
are
is,
you serious?
Yeah.
Like, that really helps? Like, having said that, there was only about a second between all of them, so it is quite small.
Sure, it would make a difference.
Small,
you know what also helps, actually, that I didn't really think it would be the case, is doping. That really helps a lot, too.
Oh, yeah, I hear that's quite helpful, yeah. It'd be interesting to see how many medals Russia get without all the people that were doping in there. I mean, I do feel bad, as we've talked about previously, for a lot of the Russian athletes who are clean, as I'm sure there are plenty of them that are clean, and just, you know, now, even because of what's happened, their records, if they set them, are always going to be questioned.
I just feel bad for the Russian Paralympic team.
Yeah,
that really who you're going to give a tough time to?
Yeah.
The Paralympic team?
It's a bit like in the playground, they were mad at this big kid, but they couldn't do anything about it, so they punched the kid with braces sitting there, a guy on crutches.
And not,
gets
like, and not like teeth braces, like a back brace.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's the kid they punched down and then, like, kicked him while he was down and was like, oh, man, you're so bad, you're on drugs, kid in a
take that,
back
big
brace.
Guy.
It's the Russian way.
But yeah, so lots of sympathies to go around there. So my second question, though, in relation to the Olympics, is if you could be in any Olympic sport, you know, regardless of your own physical abilities right now, what's the Olympic sport that you would join?
Can we do a quick list of what the Olympic sports are for those of us who may have selective sports that we may or may not watch?
There's like 23, right? And then within a lot of them, there's like various sub competitions.
Well, yeah, because swimming takes all month because there's so many varieties of it. And like diving counts in that.
There's like different kinds of canoeing and kayaking and archery.
Okay, canoeing is a little bit different than swimming.
But name a sport that you would like to do and we'll at least tell you if it's in the Olympics or not rather than listing out every bloody sport in the Olympics.
There's only 23 of them.
I'd probably play water polo.
Water polo? Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, it's definitely not the glamour sport of the Olympics, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, I don't think water polo would ever win any glamour competition.
Yeah, not with
hats. I wore those suits before. They're not in any way flattering. The men's, though. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. We get one on the men's there. What about you, Connor? What would you do?
I weirdly kind of fancy either archery or the canoe slalom, because I just love watching the canoers like race down these rapids and then like try to jog back, and they're all going to sort of huge speeds, and it's all like, frothy, and it is like it's like shades of a second between them all. I think it seems fun. Just gonna have a bit of a fun time while you do it.
This can be more opposite. That's the most lazy sport, and then like one of the most difficult ones you could possibly do.
Well, that's why Sam said for foregoing physical ability.
Okay, and
I'm a man of binaries.
Yeah, fair dues. JD, what are you gonna do?
I don't even have cable, so I'm not even.
It's on CBC.ca. You can watch it all.
I don't have internet either. No, I do.
You're a millennial. You're living in a tent now,
are you? Am I a millennial? Where's the line? I was born in 88.
Yeah.
Totally. You're like right in the heart.
Like why am I throwing that onwards, pool basically, with all these Pokemon goers? I don't want to.
Because most of them are older than you.
Actually, a lot of people who play Pokemon Go are like mid to late 30s.
Yeah, I've actually seen a lot of baby boomers too playing Pokemon Go. Now the truth comes out.
This is Pokemon Go's safe room.
So, yes, you don't have cable, but I assume you've heard of sport before.
Competition.
So, teams.
It takes place in ancient Greece. They will oil their naked bodies. And there's only one sport you can take part in.
Can I oil my clothed body?
Perhaps.
Just get a little damp, you know, just add a little weight, you know?
You don't have to be in the Olympics to do that. You're free to do that whenever you feel
like. That's the Canadian uniform, isn't it? Just like whale, like blubber oil over the diamonds.
And then maple syrup dripping off the nose.
Don't try and get Canadian here. Well, you're clearly not Canadian.
I'm trying.
He's not very English either. He spent most of his time in Singapore. So.
Not most, but like a solid third.
And Philadelphia as well. And
Mexico.
Why were you in Philadelphia?
I just wanted to switch up the scenery.
You know, at 8 years old, he was like, sod this place. I'm moving. Yeah. Sod you all.
Mexico, old news.
I don't have an answer.
Really? You can't think of a single sport?
I don't. There's a reason why I don't currently play sports.
You'd be a good volleyball player.
Why?
Because
of the height?
Yeah.
And you're white, basketball?
And I'm white?
You're tall and you're white. That makes a very clear indication.
So I can't run.
Rowing. You could do rowing.
I could do rowing. That's way too much effort.
You could do archery.
Okay, so we've
had too little effort.
My answer was I wish they still had a sport that they actually got rid of in the 1920s, was they used to have tug of war.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
no
in the Olympics. I think I'd be good at tug of war.
You would
what would be much more fun than the Olympics to watch? There's the Viking competition, which all the Nordic countries take part in, that Connor and I once saw on a hotel room TV.
That's
and
my
it's just,
answer.
It's the guy it's the guy who plays the Mountain in Game of Thrones, and he just destroys
Sorry, what?
His competition.
There's a character called The Mountain.
Yeah. Do you not
this is
watch
why
Game
I don't watch
Thrones?
This show. It's so stupid. What a load of horseshit.
You don't watch Game of Thrones.
I'm The Mountain.
This is not a Game of Thrones safe room.
He actually doesn't speak.
Obviously, he's The Mountain. What are you talking about?
Anyway, not the point of the conversation.
It is now.
This is a Game of Thrones safe place.
This is evidently not.
I don't feel
Rick's
safe
gone
talking about Game of Thrones with JD in the
Game of Thrones on the table, and we're all mad surgeons with pickaxes.
Okay, well, we're going to try and work this out. We're going to play some music and come back. This is No Sinner with When the Bell Rings.
I know my
All right, that was No Sinner with When the Bell Rings of Old Habits Die Hard. You're listening to the White Noise After Show. My name is Simon Welton, and I'm currently joined in the studio by Sierra Wiley, Connor Neckleput, and JD.
Our I have a last guest. Name, prick.
Well, that's not even name? Your real name, so let's not get
it
into
it. Those are my initials, JD Page.
Okay, JD Page. You sound like a cologne or something.
A JD cologne?
It's JD by Page.
Only
easy, breezy, beautiful, JD Page.
Smells
actually,
like the
have
beach.
You considered like starting a fashion company? Maybe.
Right now, currently, I just thought of that.
Wow,
that's so weird.
We're on the same wavelength right here.
Do you know a girl? Send me the deets.
Will do, JD.
All right. So while you're getting your fashion empire built, our last topic for tonight is one that Sierra suggested, which is that. We want to discuss whether you guys think that there's a truth to the idea that what order you're born in terms of you versus your siblings has an effect on your personality. So, for example, is the middle child have middle child syndrome? Is the little one the spoilt one? And is the oldest one the favorite? Those sort of things. So what do we think, guys?
What are the typical symptoms of middle child syndrome?
Usually they're quite independent. And stubborn, and usually the idea is that they.
Do explain.
He's just looking at me. Himself.
What do you mean? Yeah, I guess so.
Well, it's funny because I would argue, at least from my own experience, it seems to be fairly on the nose.
I think Harry's a symptom of eldest child because I mean Connor's the eldest child.
Is your brother really, really hairy? Like more hairy than you?
The eldest one's pretty hairy. Yes, the second one and the fourth one, you know how Homer Simpson has like the two hairs on his head?
Yeah.
That's their chest, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So I am firstborn, so I could be the hairy one.
But we are talking about personality rather than body hair.
The two are remarkably intertwined.
Body hair and the
hair. If your hair is that long, yeah.
You've never seen
firstborn son, am I right?
You've never seen a man with lots of hair who's really insecure.
So you're the firstborn, Connor.
I am.
So what do we think? Are the firstborns insane? Is that a normal thing, or is it
no,
just
they,
Connor?
Is that a typical...
modest, aren't they?
They're modest.
Well, I think the thing is with siblings, it's like all birth order is important, but then also there are like a number of other factors, like the gender of your siblings and like what your parents were in their birth order. And it's kind of interesting to think about that. And then like only children exhibit symptoms, like it's a disease of being the eldest child, the youngest child, the middle child.
It's got OCD.
Whether you're a Libra
only
or a
child
Capricorn.
Disorder.
Actually, that might be have some truth to it. I know a guy.
I also know a gentleman.
Okay, no, we need to get explicit here. We
what
know you
do
know
you
some
mean?
Gentlemen. Wow.
It's usually just me and Connor, and he says stuff like that and kills the conversation, and then I have to, like, pretend that it makes sense.
I need to come in more. What do you mean? Why don't you open that up for me?
Call him out, please. So what do you think, JD? Is there a truth to it? Because what's your sibling situation?
I'm the second of two.
Okay.
I'm the end child, so I got... I guess more real. I don't think either of us got a lot of attention. I was lonely. I'm sad about it.
Oh,
no, it's fine. That definitely affects you for sure, depending on when you were born. You know, the middle one I could see being kind of left on its own, you know, and the firstborn's probably already gone. The new one's getting all the attention. Yeah.
I also think with the first child, like parents, as they go through sort of each stage for the first time with that child, they are very careful and cautious and really overthink probably a lot of what is happening because it's the first time they've had that child go to school and, you know, go through puberty, go through whatever. Whereas as they get further and further down, they get more casual about it because they realize, you know, what happens, and
the gradation.
As long as you're there, and it's sort of there. Like even just like sort of the sort of discipline and stuff like that sort of fades away child by child. Whereas like the youngest, they're like kind of, yeah, he'll be fine, do what he wants.
That decline is hilarious because I have five siblings and I'm the fourth of six, right? And I could see like how my eldest sister was treated.
Parents.
Yeah, I know we're Catholic. I'm not. They are.
No comment.
Woohoo! And so it's like the first child, how they dealt with her, and it's like you get a cell phone when you go to university. And I mean, that's also like the times and how technology works, right? And then
really? I had a phone at like 11.
Yeah.
I
was
like 14.
I had an iPad when I was 3.
Right, that makes sense.
But no, I was also one of those kids that was like, I'm going to go buy my own phone and start texting the one person I know with the phone. Like,
did you have the hand-me-down phone that had gone to three siblings?
No.
I had that one.
I had my candy money from selling sweets on the bus. I was wheeler dealing.
Here we are on the bus.
I had backflow at 12 years old, mate. I was making about like $50 a day selling candy.
So that was a burner phone for you. Selling candies on the bus.
Here we are talking about fashion empires. Simon at 13's got a candy empire. Yeah. Leaving us all in the dirt.
Yeah, and then I came here and decided that
he left his life of crime behind him.
It was because it was an open campus here, so I couldn't corner the market. There, you couldn't leave campus, so it was, you know, there was nowhere else
were
to go, and it was a healthy food campus.
School?
Wait, did you just text the one guy who bought sweets off you, meet him in a corner, and then bully him till he bought more sweets off you?
No, people would come to me. Everyone knew me as that guy. They were like,
Simon,
you know.
I think you're losing your potential as a radio star. You really ought to be.
Yeah.
This is a pass that rivals some of the other fallen idols.
What did you charge for candy?
Double what the retail was. Yeah,
that was amazing.
Did you get it at wholesale price?
Yeah, I went to Costco, buy buckets, and then mix up the buckets and bring them in.
I can't believe this is real. Back in my day, I used to get a whole bag for a nickel.
And then sell it for quite a lot more. Yeah. But it was great. When I came to Canada, I bought myself a snowboard and a fishing boat when I moved here. I was like,
this isn't real. Yeah. This is not real.
I had $2,000 saved up. Yeah. From candy? Yeah, I'm telling you.
Take a step back, Walter White. Jeez.
Yeah, it was great. I was making like $50 a day. It was, and I had to go to school anyway.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was great way to make money.
Did you learn anything in school or did you just make money?
That making money is easy. Doing like something you love is really hard. That's what I learned.
That's actually a pretty good lesson.
Yeah.
Did you hire some like goons to follow you around?
That was my granddad's advice, because my granddad, I'm pretty sure, was like a loan shark when he was younger. So he would like give me all this weird gangster advice when I was a kid. Like, he'd be like, son, if you need something doing and you can't do it, you just pay someone to do it for you. Because he was a little guy.
He was someone giving you a shoe
fix.
You know,
there's a really good movie in that somewhere.
I don't think so.
I'd watch it.
The God Grandfather.
Journey to the Cobbler.
Oh, dear. All right.
Journey to Costco.
It's nearly 10 o'clock, guys. So we are going to have to say goodbye pretty soon. Thank you to our special guest, JD Paget, for being
here tonight.
Tell us again, why
I'm here?
What do you do, sir?
Well, one, we're friends. And two, I have a podcast that I would really appreciate it if you all listen to. It's called Cheap Talk. We had an explanation of the show recently because it's hard. We're trying to work on our elevator sketch of the show, right? And the pitch of the show. That's kind of hard to do. Someone recently said this, and I think it's pretty good. You know, when you're at a cafe, right? And there's a table beside you having this just ridiculous conversation that you can't help but listen to. That's the show.
Nice. I like that. That's a good way to sum it up. And for those of you who as CITR listeners, very into your good music, I have to admit, JD knows his stuff, and he does this thing called, it's called the Bears.
It's called the Bears Den. I get the a Bears live Den. Bear to come in, Jer Bear, he comes in. He's actually here in the other room just waiting for me. He's kind of like my little pet, you know? And he comes in, he plays a couple songs, kind of spotlights them. So there's a little music thrown into the ridiculous nonsense.
Yeah, and you do kind of like a background on the artist, and you get into the history of the artist.
Yeah, usually just straight out of the bear's head, whatever he knows about it, and gives you a little factoid. And
yeah,
it's a sultry voice that you can't deny.
It is like molasses, or honey, which is more appropriate for a bear, I guess. But
yeah.
But yeah, so thank you very much for listening tonight. We will be back next week. I'm actually away this weekend, so it might be a clip show. We might end up having to do that. We haven't done one in a while, and I'll try and dig some old stuff out, make it worth listening to. But thank you very much as well to Sierra and Connor for being here.
As always, my love.
Just has to ruin it every time, doesn't he?
Has to say the worst thing he possibly can think of. So we're going to leave you tonight with another awesome Canadian female artist. This is Jessie Lanza, and this is It Means I Love You off Oh No. We'll see you very soon.